The story in today's gospel is one that is, unfortunately, often forgotten by Catholics. That's probably because it's only recorded in one of the four gospels in St. Luke's. And at Mass, we only read it once every 3 years on the 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time. You know, every year we read either Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and then we rotate that every 3 years. And then this gospel falls once every 3 years on the 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The problem is, though, that the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time often winds up falling on the same day, the same Sunday as Holy Trinity Sunday or Corpus Christi Sunday, all depending on where Easter falls. And so, many times, when it does that, then we have to read the Gospel for Holy Trinity or Corpus Christi, which means that we wind up not reading this story at Mass for like 6 years or 9 years and maybe even longer. I look back at my old homilies and I can't find one I've ever preached on this gospel. Maybe I was on vacation. But that's a shame that we read this so seldom, because while it's only a very short story, it's beautiful and powerful, and rich in meaning. Today I'd like us to look at three meanings or three lessons that we can take from this gospel. First, about the power of Jesus. Second, about the humanity of Jesus. Third, about the compassion of Jesus. And fourth, about the love that Jesus has for his Blessed Mother. First, let's consider the revelation of the power of Jesus in this gospel. In St. Luke's gospel, this story comes immediately after the story of the cure of the centurion's son. Most of us are a little bit more familiar with that story, especially since that's the story we get the prayer, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." Except the centurion, of course, says, "My servant shall be healed." In that story, the centurion has faith in the power of Jesus, and that he believes that all Jesus has to do is speak the word. He doesn't have to go to the servant. He just has to speak the word, and his servant will be healed. As he says, "I too am a person of authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, do this, and he does it." And Jesus does say the word, and the servant is healed. And then right after that, we find the story of him walking then to the village of Nain. And there he does the same thing, only on a much more astonishing scale. The young man in Nain is not sick. He's been dead long enough that they're taking him out to bury him. Jesus performed many amazing miracles. We can think of some of them. We think about walking on water, feeding the 5,000 with five loaves, calming the storm at a command. But none of them shows his divine power more than the three times that he raised the dead back to life. Remember the story of Lazarus. That's very popular. We read that every year. And the story of the daughter of Jairus. And then, of course, this story, the widow of Nain's son. No other miracles even compare to these three. I mean, after all, who can raise the dead? Who can give life back to the dead? And yet Jesus just does it with his word, a word of command. You find in the first reading today, we saw how Elijah raised the dead. But it wasn't Elijah himself. He prayed to God. And he performed this ritual of prayer, but prayed to God that God would raise the son. Jesus doesn't pray to the Father. He just simply uses his divine power and says, "Lazarus, come out. Talitha kum, little girl, I tell you, arise." Or, "Young man, I tell you, rise." The power of the word of God spoken in the flesh by the word of God made flesh, Jesus. This leads us to the second lesson we learn from today's story about the humanity of Jesus. the divine Word who became a flesh and blood human being. As St. Paul tells us elsewhere, he was like us in all things but sin. God the Son stripped himself of his divine glory to enter into and share in our humanity, so that as a human being he could then teach us, show us his example, represent us as represent all human beings before his Father, and most wonderfully and most importantly, so he could suffer with us and suffer for us. And so as he walks the roads of Galilee in today's story, not far from his childhood home in Nazareth, walking on the road from Capernaum to this little village of Nain, he does what we do every day. We walk from place to place. Some places important, some places not. A very human thing. And he comes across a funeral procession and encounters another very human thing, death. But not only death, but death, what death leaves in its wake, a grieving family member. As St. Luke tells us, a man who had died had been carried out, was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now think of that. The only son of his mother, a widow. Jesus sees this poor woman who, having already grieved for her dead husband, now has to grieve for her dead young son. They say there's no sadder thing than for a person to bury their spouse, except for a parent to have to bury their own child. And so Jesus enters into this all too real human situation, one that many of us in this room have experienced in one form or another. And he enters into the deep grief of this poor mother for her son. But not just her son, her only son. We can imagine what she must be thinking. She's lost the two most important people in her life, her husband and her only child. But not only that, she suffers in another way, a much more practical and mundane way, but one that is every bit as real for this poor woman. You see, back then, without a husband or a son, there would be no one to support and protect her. She would be destitute. And so she's not only lost the family she loved, but now she faces the fear of a very uncertain future for herself. Jesus sees all this suffering, and he makes it his own. Notice that he isn't so much concerned for the dead man, which is no surprise since he knows that death is nothing to fear for those who love the Lord. His attention is turned toward the mother. And so we read today, when the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Reminds us of very similar words in the story of Lazarus, where it tells us when Jesus saw Mary weeping, he became deeply troubled and Jesus wept. Jesus understands this mother's suffering in all its aspects because he is fully human. This reminds us that Jesus understands all of our sufferings too, in all of their aspects. From the pain of terrible physical suffering, like the physical suffering he endured on the cross, to the humiliation of rejection and persecution, to ordinary and simple but devastating grief of sickness and death, or the fear of hunger and poverty, or the loss of love and loneliness. Christ, the incarnate God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, has fully experienced our humanity in all its joy and in all its suffering. The Lord Jesus understands. Which brings us to our third lesson today. Jesus, as God and man, has compassion on us. On Friday, the Church celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as we ponder the mystery of the divine love united to the human love of Jesus. That love is not an empty love. It's a love that is lived out and acts. And first of all, it does that in compassion. That word compassion comes from the two Latin words compassio, which literally translates as to suffer with someone. Compassio, with suffering. So in his great love, Jesus loves us with the fullness of human love, but love made boundless by its union to the infinite love of God. So an infinite compassion, infinite suffering. And so Jesus looks on the pain of the widow of Nain not only with understanding, but also with the fullness of compassion. As his infinite love leads him to suffer with her, but in doing so, in a very real sense, suffering even more than she does. And in that love, lived out in compassion, he acts to heal her suffering. And with the divine power of his divine love, he gives her son back to her. And the thing is, he does the same for all of us, all the time. We see his compassion for us so sublimely in the cross as he saves us from our sin and death and the fires of hell, if we will accept it. But we also see it in the mundane things of life, as he showers us with his grace in our everyday suffering. Maybe he doesn't raise the dead, but he gives us the grace to cope with death and loss, and even become stronger and holier and closer to him because of that. On the other hand, how many times has he brought someone that we loved, even ourselves perhaps, back from the brink of death? How many people have you known that you loved and prayed for? Maybe they were suffering from some incurable illness or unrecoverable injury. Maybe they had fourth-degree cancer and you prayed and they survived. How many times has Jesus restored hearts that seemed dead, overwhelmed by sorrow or grief or depression, but now they are alive with his joy? And finally, the fourth lesson we learn from this story. The very real and ever-present love, the abiding love of Jesus, that he has in a special way for his mother Mary. Again, this speaks very much to his humanity. Like most of us, Jesus had a unique and special love for his mom. Imagine then, as Jesus came into this scene in Nain, a village, again, just a few miles away from Nazareth, where he grew up and probably where his mother was still living. Maybe he even stopped by on the way to see his mother. And now he sees a widow. And in her, he sees another widow, his mother, who had been widowed from Joseph for many years. And he sees this mother from Nain, whose only son had taken care of her for so many years. And he remembers how he had taken care of Mary for many years as a carpenter. And he sees this mother from Nain taking the dead body of her only son off to be buried. A young man, as St. Luke says today. And he sees his mother taking the dead body of her only son, a young man of 33, down from the cross and laying him in the tomb. As he sees the widow of Nain weeping, Jesus looks into the future, as only he can do with his divine power, and sees his mother Mary weeping as well. Jesus would not spare Mary, his mother, the pain that she suffered at the cross. He couldn't do that because he had to die, and she had to share in that suffering as only she could do. But he could spare the widow of Nain And remembering his love for his mother, he did spare the woman of Nain. Well, he couldn't avoid the cross. He could give this young man back to his mother. And when he can spare us from our suffering, he does that too. Especially when we go to him and we ask him to. Especially when we ask his mother to ask him with us, to intercede for us. But sometimes he can't spare us our suffering. Sometimes in his great plan for the salvation of the world, we, like Mary, whom he loves so tenderly, we must endure suffering. Perhaps we must endure suffering of persecution, perhaps the suffering of rejection of someone who loves us. We must be patient with them as they maybe even attack us. Maybe we have to suffer some hardship so that we can save someone from going to hell or from whatever, but we so often have to suffer, and Jesus needs us to do this as part of his plan. But he doesn't allow us to suffer because he doesn't love us, but rather because he does love us, just as he loved his mother, his mama, and let her share in his salvific mission. There are so many stories in the life of Jesus, so many filled with so many lessons about his extraordinary love and grace, and about how to live our ordinary human life filled with that love and grace. Sadly, so many of these stories are often forgotten or seldom spoken of. And so their lessons go unlearned, not to mention unheeded. In the story of the widow of Nain, we learn about Jesus' divine power, his humanity, his compassion, and his unique love for his mother. And so many other things as well. Let us pray that we may always remember this story and learn from its lessons. And let us pray that by this simple story, so often forgotten and yet so important to remember, we may be inspired to a new appreciation of Holy Scripture and Holy Tradition, and to prayerful consideration of the profound meaning of the simple and dramatic acts in the life of Jesus, and the simple and dramatic events in our life lived with Jesus. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.